Welcome to Seek Reality with your host, Roberta Grimes. Author and attorney Roberta Grimes will explore and illustrate how she, after an extraordinary experience of light in childhood, has discovered channels of communication to the afterlife and how these implications have an effect on our everyday lives. Please welcome the host of Seek Reality, Roberta Grimes.
Oh, my dear friends, welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. As I have been saying, and I just would like to remind you again, a century ago, the mainstream science gatekeepers, the university departments, and the peer-reviewed journals adopted, believe it or not, materialism as what even they call the fundamental scientific dogma. They did this because early in the 20th century, we were getting some wonderful communications through deep trance mediums. And there were actually serious researchers who were documenting them, printing them in books, and challenging scientists to look at all this wonderful new information about the fact that human life really is eternal. They were not about to do that. So rather than maintain the concept of science as an open-minded search for the truth, which seems to be pretty important, these gatekeepers instead turned it into the limited and distorted belief system of materialism. They recreated science as what amounts to a religious belief system. And that's the reason why, for the past century at least, mainstream science has really not been going anywhere important. This is really tragic, but it'll soon end, I think. All of this comes to mind because my guest this week is Ivanhoe Chaput, who is doing some of the science that scientists now refuse to do. Ivanhoe is an independent thinker. He's an entrepreneur who holds 14 patents. And he's a fascinating man whose questing mind has led him to draw many of the same conclusions with regard to studying the greater reality that we afterlife researchers have drawn. That fascinates me. Ivanhoe is here to talk about his new book, which is called Infinity, Time, Death, and Thought. Wow, that's a big one. That sums up everything we're studying now, pretty much. Ivanhoe and I share a wonderful publisher, Sage Wisdom. I can't even say this correctly, so I better get used to saying it. Sage Wisdom Publishing. It specializes in books that do just what Ivanhoe's books and mine do for you. We open-mindedly investigate the genuine greater reality without the burden of any prior beliefs and with the goal of truly enlightening and freeing the minds of everyone on earth. Ivanhoe, I'm thrilled that you're here. Welcome to Seek Reality.
Oh, gosh, it's my pleasure, and I'm very excited about being here.
Well, let's begin by telling people just very briefly how you got here. What got you interested in investigating all these things?
Well, I've always been interested in life after death and the spirit realm, and I was very religious when I was brought up. And then I kind of fell away from religion because there was a lot of stuff going on in the church I was going to, hanky-panky and that, so I became an agnostic for a long time.
Yeah.
And then when my mom passed away about 11 years ago, and I got very curious about, I'd look up and at the ceiling, and I go, where's my mom? And I started doing research on life beyond this, and what really intrigued me were veridical experiences of people that had talked to people that were flatlined, and these people seemed to know what they were doing, where they were, and all that while they were laying horizontal. And I go, well, wait a minute now. If that's possible, then we can have consciousness outside our brains, so what are our brains for? So I started researching more and more into this, and I found out that, oh my gosh, it is possible to have consciousness outside your body. And interestingly, I had three of those experiences in my 20s and had literally forgotten about them, out of sight, out of mind. And so I started doing more and more research on this, and it's been just fascinating.
It is fascinating. This is, I think, the most addictive drug there is. Researching what actually is going on, not just death and the afterlife, although that's big, but the whole greater reality and what's really true. It is so addictive. So, but meanwhile, you were an entrepreneur, right? Just briefly, what is it you do?
Oh, I take ideas and turn them into products. I was plant chief engineer for four different companies, and they never would let me out of engineering because I was good at it, and I wanted to be president, and I thought, well, I know how to be president. I'll just start my own company.
Yes. That's the problem with doing what you do really well. They stick you there. Well, that's great. Yeah. And so what are your thoughts on infinity, Ivanhoe?
Well, briefly, infinity doesn't fit within the physical universe, and physicists have included way too much into physics, and they've stepped outside the bounds of the physical universe. They've added these 12 dimensions, and of course, these are non-physical dimensions, and so these are the only place where infinity actually exists, and so we don't have any affinity with infinity in
right.
this physical universe. It's on
That's
the other
right.
side.
That's right. Yeah, what a good insight. Yes, and isn't it interesting that they talk about sometimes infinite dimensions, they're different series, without completely ignore the fact that these people who are based in the dogma of materialism, that's where their work is supposed to be. They're, a lot of the work they're doing isn't even in materialism. I think that's an excellent point. Now, one of the things that you talk about that using as a tool is something I would not have touched at one point, but I would like to talk about it a little bit now. What's claircognizance? How do you use that?
Well, claircognizance is just something that comes to you, and I think that's where a lot of my patents have come from, just ideas, and that most of the time they don't come in words. They come more like in pictures and ideas that just form themselves mostly early in the morning, and
yep.
I'll get to work on a client's ideas, and they go, hey, that's a real good idea, and I go, oh, okay, and I do this on a very regular basis.
The reason I wouldn't have touched this before is that I would have thought it was woo-woo, but instead this is common sense. And the fact that it happens in the morning is wonderful. This is the thing. All of us have guides who are attracted to us. We have a main guide, but we also have what Suzanne Wilson calls guides for a season or a reason. And if we are trying to do something in our lives, those guides will come and help us do it. When you have something you're trying to wrestle with, you have it in your mind firmly at night, and then when you listen to what's in your mind in the morning, the more you use this, the better it gets. I'm humbled to say that nothing I write is from me. It's all channeled. I couldn't have said that even 5 years ago. I was too embarrassed. But yeah, I can't write a word without help. The way I write my blog posts, which, by the way, a lot of people love, come and read my blog. The way I write them is I sort of sketch them out a little bit and then go to sleep, and I wake up in the morning and write them. That's how to use your guides. So what he's doing really, everyone, is what we all should be doing. Let's use the power we have, which is all these people not in bodies who are dying to help us, pardon the expression. So anyway, now let's talk about photons, because this is very important information, but you've been getting up to now, those of you who listen to this podcast faithfully, you've been hearing about physics from someone who never even took it in high school. Let's talk to someone who knows a little more. What's the whole photon thing, double split experiment? What does it tell us? What are we learning from this?
Well, Robert Young really came up with the double split experiment in order to prove that the photon was a wave, and to his surprise, he proved that it was both a particle and a wave. And from those experiments came some very odd results. And what they've discovered was that the photon, with better and better instruments over time, the photon was tricking them into either going back into time or knowing ahead of time what it was going to be at the end of its journey during these experiments.
Wow. I love it. So what were they concluding from all this?
Well, the one experiment is the delayed choice phenomenon, what they were concluding erroneously was that it was thought that was affecting the photon's behavior, like they used to say on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays it was a particle, and on Wednesdays and Thursdays it was a wave, and So what they've been trying to figure out is why in the world can a photon on a travel from an emitter to a receiver and be changed halfway on that travel, and there's a thing called spin. It's an up and down spin, and they can change that, and they can change it halfway through the travel. However, when they look at the data, if it left as an up spin, they change it to a down spin. They go back and check the data again, and it was an up spin when it started, and they go, well, that's impossible. What did it do? Is it psychic? how does it know? You know, and so I thought about this since I was in high school, and what I've concluded was, well, the photon doesn't experience time or distance, and this is a fact of physics. Right. And since it doesn't experience time and distance, physicists are looking at it from a distance-time perspective, where the photon, if it doesn't know time and distance, and they change it, well, it can't be anything other than what they changed it to from its beginning. So you have to, it's very hard to get your head around this, but you have to think of this phenomenon from the perspective of the photon. And that's why I personified the photon and named him Milo.
It's as good a name as any.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what's the conclusion, though?
Well, the conclusion...
These photons are... Uh-huh. Let me just clarify something. People are wondering what's a wave. Essentially, a wave is something like a particle of energy. It's not a particle of matter. All of this, of course, there is no solid matter at all. Even the tiniest particle is just a vortex of energy. But for it to present as either physical energy or physical matter is what the question is here. And the fascinating thing is that there seems to be, as you point out, Ivanhoe, an underlying kind of physics happening here that doesn't include either time or space.
Right. It's devoid of time and space, and I believe the photon is that last bastion of physicality between here and the other side.
Yes.
It probably is a particle that exists in both realities, the physical and the non-physical. And if you study the characteristics of the photon, you can then correlate that with a non-physical existence that can exhibit photon characteristics of a lack of time and space. However, you can place your consciousness anywhere within the realm of infinity that doesn't exist here but exists over there.
Yes, yes. Early on posited, as I was doing my research and as I came across this concept of quantum mechanics, and I recommend that people do some reading of Quantum Physics for Dummies books, because it does help you free your mind from this illusion that matter is important. But I had come to conclude, as you have, that it's kind of a plug between this level of reality, which is the only level we're aware of that is material, and it's probably less than 5% of what we are aware exists, and that includes scientists. It's the plug between here and most of what exists, including, but not limited to, just what we call the afterlife. So you see how it is that people who come at this from two different directions, everyone, we come to the same place. There is one truth. There are a number of ways to approach it. The one way you cannot approach it, of course, is if you've got a dogma in your head that you have. That's like asking people to figure out why there's a puddle on the floor, or they can study the floor and the walls, they can't look at the ceiling. That's what a dogma does. And so we're past that at this point. We are looking at truth in the eye and calling it by its name. Any other thoughts? Any other thoughts on quantum mechanics?
Well, I believe physicists have mathematically and very accurately described something that they actually don't believe in, and that's the non-physical realm.
Yes.
And what they fail to really examine is, where is consciousness? And Sam Parnia and another physicist from England, his name eludes me right now, but they have actually identified microtubules in the brain that could be a channel that uploads consciousness into the quantum realm. And so they're getting better. They're not
but isn't
there
that
yet, but they're
silly?
Getting...
Consciousness exists prior to everything. Max Planck said this. He got the 1918 Nobel Prize as the father of quantum mechanics. So their own revered, you know, historical leader in the area of quantum mechanics could tell them right now that materialism, the materialist dogma, will take them nowhere. But you see, if physics is required to accept that consciousness is pre-existing and essentially the source of everything else, what does that tell them? That tells them this dogma for 100 years has been wrong, and they're going to have to go back and redo a lot of physics. Nobody wants to do that. They want the whole problem to come to a head after they retire and their kids are through college. That's what we're dealing with right now. Very strange and sad, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Max Planck even said that his unit of measurement applies to the physical consciousness, extraterrestrials, and non-physical. And what did he mean by that? Of course, he understood that there was a non-physical existence.
Yeah, it really is tragic, but it's become farce. I think tragedy turns into farce if you don't address it, and it's almost laughable. I again recommend Scientific American as a humor magazine. So often when we read it and we see what the things are that puzzle them, we know how to answer their questions. And I mean, as I say, I've never spent a day in a physics classroom. I've just been doing reading, and my mind is open. That's the whole difference. It's very tragic. But your sense, though, is that they're going to get a clue of this? You say they're going in the right direction?
I think
microtubules, that's all physical, though. They're still stuck in things that are physical.
Well, what they're saying is that it is a method of uploading into a non-physical realm. In other words, the quantum world really is semi-non-physical, or maybe it is. Many aspects of it are, in fact, non-physical, where you cannot measure the location of a particle. You can only measure its mass or its velocity or its energy and a place, but you can't know both. And there are some physicists that from my research, I would say less than 10%, maybe only a few percent, are actually turning around and scratching their heads and going, well, how could something have come from nothing?
We're talking about some of the deepest concepts that there are, and we're talking with a scientist who is not bound by the dogma of materialism, and look what wonderful things he comes up with. There's something else that I think is almost the hardest thing for us to escape when we're trying to expand our minds to include the greater reality, and that's time. Believe it or not, there's no such thing. And I think this is... I mean, in the ultimate reality. I think this is kind of fun to talk about. So talk about time, Ivanhoe.
Well, time is a construct of our physical universe. It is not a construct of the other side. And what I mean by that is, before the physical universe, time didn't even exist. And time is just a gauge by which movement in the universe can be comprehended. And so when life was disposed into this universe from the other side, I mean, we were spirit entities before we ever came here, and we needed a way to understand this universe, the place into which we were disposed through our senses, a sense of sight, touch, smell, taste, and so forth. And so time is one of those elements that allows us to be three-dimensional human beings. Now, time does not exist outside this universe as we understand time to be, like when we look at our clocks, our watches, and things like that. You know, we can gauge time. So time has a certain amount of temporary reality here. And when I say temporary, this universe literally created time, and of course, when the universe goes into the big rip or the big freeze, time will again no longer exist as we understand it.
I'd like to point out what Albert Einstein said. He said, time is what keeps everything from happening at once. That's what he said. That's what you just said, although you said it in more words. That's all it is.
And so on the other side, one of the things that's been very hard for people to grasp is these people coming back from near-death experiences and being very confused with, just like you said, everything happening at once. And so it's very close to what the photon, if it could think, could do in that fuzzy space between the time the time and place it's launched and its arrival. It takes 8 minutes for a photon to get from the sun to the earth, but the photon doesn't experience any of that. If it could think, it could place itself anywhere along that string, that one-dimensional length. And so on the other side, it's very similar to that, except it's infinite. And so we can place our consciousness anywhere within a thought, within whatever we think of. And it all happens at once, but we can implant our existence anywhere within that place. And that's very, very hard for people would have had these NDEs to explain to us, because we don't have words for that. It's ineffable.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And this is true.
There are two theories of NDEs. The theory of people who have had these experiences is they have been to the afterlife and come back. What the dead tell us is that doesn't happen. It's a one-way trip when you die, and instead these people are having very elaborate out-of-body experiences. That's a distinction with no difference whatsoever. Either way, where these people have been, there is no space and there is no time. And infinity, as Ivanhoe has pointed out, exists there. And that's what they can't really describe to us, that experience where they have been. And if we haven't been there, it's very difficult to imagine. Not only does time not exist, but it certainly isn't an arrow going in one direction. Now, you talk about four different types of time.
The four different types of time, C time relates to speed of light time, and that's the time that a photon experiences on its travel, which basically compresses what we observe as, let's say, this 8 minutes from the sun to the earth, or billions of years from some far-off galaxy to here. To the photon, it has compressed this literally into Planck time, or the smallest amount of real time that can possibly be. And so that's C time. That's a very specific type of time. Then P time I refer to as point time. This is where the photon is inside of a black hole. It has no dimension. Now, C time has a single dimension, it has length, but p-time is just a point. And we don't know what p-time is all about. It's where Kip Thorne said this is where the laws of physics break down, inside of a black hole. Now, some people say no, but I kind of believe that. We don't know what goes on in there. But it does exist in our universe, where a photon does not travel. And this has actually been done at one of the universities where they took a photon and took it down to a very, very, very low temperature, well, close to absolute zero, and the photon literally stopped. And so, and then there's M time, which is molecular time. I call it, and you could refer to it as mundane time. That's our time that we experience, you know. So we have to be somewhere at 3 o'clock, and so we relate to that. That's M time, molecular time. And then the most important to me is T time, and that is thought time. And thought time is the most elusive, because it's actually the most flexible or dynamic, and we can think ourselves back to when we were a child, or we can think ourselves into a great vacation we've had, and we can even think in the future of probabilities, like tomorrow I'm going to be in such and such a place. And thought time really can place ourselves in any of those environments.
Wow. All right, so now we understand time is a whole lot more complicated than what time your next TV show comes on or what time dinner is. This is really amazing. But understanding all of this is important, because the more we understand about all of this, the easier it is for us to make that leap of understanding to the fact that our own minds really are immortal. And when you die, after you die, you will have a much greater access to your mind. So fill it now, and you'll really understand it after you get home. Let's talk about thought, because thought is another thing that you're interested in.
Oh, yes. Thought is really the us. The thought is more than just what we think we are here in this physical existence. I mean, we've been disposed into these physical bodies, and physicists or scientists think that thought originated in the brain and that sort of thing. Well, that's not really true. I mean, if thought originated in the brain, that means the jellyfish, who have been very successful in the evolutionary scheme of things, they don't even have a brain. And if you think about microbes and their colonies, where they send out emissaries to look for food and then the colony follows, what's the life force that causes those entities to be conscious? They are conscious, and the animals are very conscious. I talk a lot about animals. I love that. I grew up with animals, and the animals have feelings. In fact, I was watching a show the other day where they really think that some primates may even have a religious belief of some kind. You know, they're connected to the source.
Oh, sure.
Like we are.
Oh, sure.
And so thought really is the us inside us. And when we're here disposed into these brains, we think we are who we are, but we're much, much more than that. We have a higher self that literally, well, the brain is like a receiver transmitter. It has
that's
an upload and download system.
That's exactly right. I tell people your brain is nothing more important than a two-way radio in the head of a meat robot. But in fact, more recently, we're coming to understand that actually consciousness doesn't attach to this temporary, body avatar, just to your brain. Apparently, it connects all over your body. So the Eastern belief in chakras is really based in, as are apparently so many of these more primitive beliefs, are actually based in observation. So we are only, what's exciting for Ivanhoe and me is that we are only beginning to really grasp how all of this fits together. But it does fit together, and there will be a singularity of understanding ahead. So we're doing work that's really fun for us, but it is going to very much help humankind to at last put it all together.
Oh, yes. And consciousness, contrary to artificial intelligence, you know, there is just no way you can gather a whole bunch of wires together and all of a sudden their computer's going to be able to think. I mean, that's poppycock.
Right. Isn't that amazing? That's what they think is going to happen. It's so incredibly stupid. Oh, my.
And if anything comes close to that, it's the Internet, because there are literally billions of connections. I mean, with all the cell phones and all the computers and all the data that's going back and forth, and the Internet hasn't even begun to show a modicum of consciousness. It just doesn't do that.
That is such an extraordinarily good point. Exactly right. How are they going to build something big enough and wired enough and complex enough to develop awareness? It's impossible. You can't do it.
No.
And what's extraordinary is they think it's going to happen, though, Ivanhoe. I mean, doesn't it astonish you?
Well, it astonishes me, and then I'm not surprised, because I've been studying human nature for a long time and belief systems, and as you read in my book, Why People Fight, we are really entrenched in our beliefs, and we only accept those things that we already believe in anyway. So
that's exactly right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I had forgotten. Yes, I knew you had been on before, but yes, your book, Why People Fight, is terrific as well. When are you writing another book, Ivanhoe?
Well, I've got one finished now, and I just haven't sent it off yet, and it basically has to do with people that have had near-death experiences and why there are differences in these experiences. And the bottom line, essentially, is we take our bag of, excuse my French, or a bag of poop with us, right?
Well, yes.
And so the belief systems that we have, and that really leads to the atheist, me to think of the atheist who believes in nothing, and that some NDEers have actually seen people that were atheists in a state of blackness and nothingness, and because they took their belief with them. And so now, what are they conscious of? They're conscious of only blackness and nothingness. And I think, wow, that's a terrible, I wouldn't ever want to be there.
Now, here's the acid test. What do you think God is?
Well, that's a really good question. And my idea of God is not that much different from a few religions. However, there are some differences in what I get from these, well, these call them morning downloads or something. I'm always thinking about this. You know, my wife says, you sure think a lot. And I says, yeah. I says, I think a lot because it's free and it's fun. So
yes, yes.
So the let's start with the universe. The universe is so huge, it's beyond comprehension. And there are about 100 billion stars just in our galaxy, and there are some 200 billion galaxies, and we're discovering more and more.
Oh, my.
And so if you take Drake's equation and calculate the number of rocky planets in our galaxy, you'll find about 40 billion of them. And of these, they believe that there's probably anywhere between 1,000 and 100 million civilizations in our galaxy, and then multiply that times 200 billion. Wow, these are unbelievable numbers. Now think about the number of people on our planet, 7.4 billion people on our planet. And so, where does God fit within this tremendous universe of ours? And so my concept of God is I believe there's a hierarchy on the other side. And many people that have had NDEs have been told things like, there was one fellow named Andy that had a near-death experience, and he decided he wanted to stay there, and a very powerful entity told him, no, Andy, you have to go back.
Yes.
Very. In a voice where Andy just, he came back. So,
yeah.
And there's a lot of instances like this. And so if that's the case, there, that means that there are rules there. And where there are rules, there's a hierarchy. And so what I believe is that there's an organization on the other side. Now, that doesn't mean that the highest entity, the originator of the universe, this thought power, this thought force, can't keep track of every single entity that's in the universe. However, there seems to be, from what I've gathered, different levels of, call them angels or entities. And I'm going to kind of default here to what I call Great Works by Holly Bibble. And some Christians may want to stone me for this, but anyways, in John 1:1, it says, in the King James Version, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And most translations today say this. However, there are many translations that say differently. And one is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. And one of them says, the Word was the same as God. An 1864 version of the Bible says, and God was the Word, and a God was the Word, not God was the Word, and a God was the Word, another one says, and God was divine. So if you look at the ancient Greek and Aramaic scriptures, which I have looked into, and most of them refer to the Word being a God. And I'm just wondering, and I'm not saying this is for real, I'm not, you know, this is speculation on my part, that Jesus or some of these other very highly spiritual entities may have been the overseers of planet Earth. And when some of these people that have had these near-death experiences come in contact with this entity, it's so powerful, this entity is so powerful, that they believe they're talking to God. Well, are they talking to the highest form of God? You know, are they talking, are they... And I just can't seem to get my head around that, being that the universe is so big and there are so many entities that there's got to be...
Ivanhoe, let me jump in and tell you what the dead tell us.
Okay.
God doesn't fit into the universe. The universe and everything that exists is all within the mind of God. And every human mind and every mind of all those beings and all those... Thank you for giving us all that perspective on just how many beings there are. Every one of those beings is part of that same mind, as each person listening. There is no time, therefore we are eternal. If you've ever existed, you always exist. And we are very, very powerful because our minds are part of that same energy that manifests this universe. And this insight that Ivanhoe has given us is wonderful. Yes, God manifests in our lives as all of this great, enormous hierarchy of beings. But the hierarchy is based in love. The very highest beings are infinite love. So what they are doing is nothing but good for us. There is no evil that is powerful. Nothing evil exists. Everything is God. That to me is the most wonderful thing that could possibly be true.
Oh, yeah. And I do believe that we are all emissaries of this overall universal life force. We're all connected.
We are part of it. We are part of it.
Yeah.
Mikey Morgan says God is the unity of pure love in all that exists. And I think that's about the best way I could present it. But just to make sure that people can reach you if they'd like to, how would people get in touch with you? Or do you have a website?
Well, I have a website, www.ccdesign.cc. It's a...
C as in two C's, one after another? So it's two C's, one after another?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is it? CC design, all one word, dot CC?
Yes.
Oh, that's tricky. Okay. All right. And they can contact you through that website, right?
Yes. Or they can contact me through ccdesign@flash.net.
Okay. Well, and anyone who needs to get in touch with him can always just send me an email and I'll put you in touch. But this is cutting edge science, everyone. This is very, very important that all of us come to better understand this, because the scientists surely have no interest in it. And Ivanhoe, I am thrilled that you were with us today. We're going to have to do this again, because there's a lot we have not talked about in your book. And then you've got another book that will soon be out. So please consider yourself hugged, dear, and I will talk to you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you very much, and God bless.
Thank you. You too, dear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, bye-bye. That was wonderful. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm so glad you could join us today, and I hope that he was helpful in helping you open your mind to what's true. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get what that means and get your mind around it, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest is going to be your host. Now and then when I meet listeners, as I most recently did at the AREI Symposium in September, some will say that they really like it when I am our guest and I help you explore some big topic. And I love it when you say that. So I'm going to try to do more of what I call self-guesting. And next week, I'm going to share with you a topic that's lately become very important to me. How can we help young children grow up to be secure, spiritual beings who use the teachings of Jesus, the non-religious teachings of Jesus, to build their best possible lives? How can we teach them a new version of Christianity that's built entirely on those precious gospel teachings and based in love without any of that old Christian fear? My latest book, which is just in time for Christmas, is a beautiful read-aloud picture book for pre-readers and early readers called The Fun of Meeting Jesus. Next week, we're going to talk about how you can help your own children and grandchildren to grow up spiritually in the loving and joyous way that Jesus means for us to live our lives. Of course, this week we've been talking with Ivanhoe Chaput, whose new book is called Infinity, Time, Death, and Thought, and it's a wonderful summary of some of the most important aspects of the new physics that afterlife researchers continue to discover. I'm no physicist. Ivanhoe is the most wonderful of things. He is a physicist who is not bound by materialism, and I find him fascinating, and I find his books really wonderful. You're going to find it hard to entirely get over your own fear of death until the physics of it starts to make sense to you. And don't be scared of the word physics. It just means better understanding what actually is going on. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, and The Fun of Living Together. You can order them through bookstores on Amazon.com, and they're available as audiobooks and in many languages worldwide. If you really ever want to talk to me, if you want to talk about my books or about a problem in your life or whatever, don't hesitate. Go to RobertaGrimes.com and send me a contact through the contact block. Sometimes it takes me close to a week to get to all of them, but I do answer all my emails, so please be sure to leave your own address. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net, on iTunes, and through the Seek Reality app, which is free in the iTunes store. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and please make the most of this coming week in our one eternal reality. Never forgetting, always knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.